Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text Number 6. Visuchu Tvaya Kalu Paranani Setihasani Chanaka Akhyatani Hapi Haditani Dharma Sastrani Yani Nita Vasya Uchu Tvaya Kalo Paranani Seti Hasani Achanago Akyathan Yadhitani Dharma Shastrani Yanyuta Rasaya Uchu Tvaya Kalu Paranani Seti Hasani Chanago Akyatan Yabhidhatani Dharma Sistrani Janyuta Rasaya Uchu Tvayakalu Paranani Seti Hasani Chanaga Akyatan Yabhidhitani Dharma Sistrani Janyuta Visaya Uchu Maya Kalu Paranani Stani Chanaga Akhya Yidhani Siti Hasanatan Mati Messiah messages. Rishaya, the sages, Uchu said, Tvaya, by you, Kalu, undoubtedly, Pranani, the supplements to the Vedas with illustrative narrations, Sitihasani, along with the histories, cha and anagha, free from all vices, akyatani, explained, api, although, aditani, well read, dharmashastrani, scriptures giving right directions to a progressive life. Yani, all these, Uta said. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and the histories as well, for you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Purport: A Goswami, or the bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadeva, must be free from all kinds of vices. The four major vices are: 1. Illicit connection with women, 2. Animal slaughter, 3. Intoxication, and 4. Speculative gambling of all sorts. A Goswami must be free from all these vices before he can dare sit on the Vyasa Asana. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasa Asana who is not spotless in character and who is not freed from the above mentioned vices. He not only should be freed from all such vices, but must also be well versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also part of the Vedas. The histories, like the Mahabharata or Ramayana, are also part of the Vedas. The Acharya or the Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called shravana, and explaining is called kirtana. The two processes of shravana and kirtana are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Om Jnana Tavarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krutubachalam Pongun Lung Hai Tegurin Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Vanchikapa Tiyubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this is the good morning news. Throughout the country and throughout the world, people are hearing the morning news. And generally, it's all bad news. So this is good news. We're hearing the good news of this great sage, Suta Goswami, who was free of all vice, all contamination, all sinful desire. And this is actually the goal of the human form of life, is to become free of all vices and to become attached to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he mentions here the four main vices in this world, starting with the numero uno, the number one vice in this material world, is illicit connection with women or opposite sex. So this is mentioned also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Punksak Sriyam Aituni Bhavmetam Tayor Mito Hidar Grantimahu Ato Griyak Setu Satapti Vitar Janashimo Hoyam Ahamameti. That the basic principle of material existence is this attraction to the opposite sex. Yeah. And from this attraction, one becomes very attached to many things. To one's wife or one's husband, to children, to house, to land, relatives, money. Money's a big one. So one becomes very attached to these things, and thus the illusion continues. And Srila Prabhupada, he says in one purport that there's many reasons for our conditional life, and this is the main one. This is the main reason for our continued conditional life, is this attraction to the opposite sex. And now in Kali Yuga, it's increasing. So now it's attraction to the same sex also. So it's becoming more and more degraded. So by taking to Krishna consciousness, we'll become as free of this illusory existence. It's an illusion. As soon as we think that we're this body and some other body will bring pleasure to me, it's an illusion. Yeah. Some of us, some of the old timers here remember this this show called The Twilight Zone. It was a little bit of a science fiction show. Well, there was one in there that could have been in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was about this one person. He was a big criminal. The biggest criminal on the planet. So they figured they'd give him a special punishment for his great crimes. So they sent him to another planet. They put him on a rocket ship and they took him to another planet, and he was the only person on the planet. That'd be pretty intense punishment. No association, you're just there by yourself. So they put him there, and they left some supplies with him. Every couple months they'd go there and they'd give him some more supplies so he could survive. So he was just going nuts, you know. And whenever they'd come, he'd beg them, please, please stay, talk to me, come on, I'm going nuts here, please, please stay, don't go. Sorry, we gotta go. One time they went there and they left a box with him. And one of the guys said, well, this should relieve you of some of your suffering. So he opened the box, and there was a robot in it. He had to assemble the robot, and after he assembled it, it was a woman. So she started talking to him. And he said, ah, you're just a robot. And he knocked her down on the ground. And she said, you hurt me. You hurt me. What do you mean I hurt you? You're a robot. Well, I'm a special robot. I have feelings. Really? Oh, I'm sorry. And then he started having a friendship with her. He had some companionship. So he was actually very happy that now he could talk to somebody. So they were coming and leaving supplies with him, and of course didn't have to leave anything for he named her Linda. Linda was okay, didn't need any supplies. So one time they came and they gave him good news. Your sentence has been lifted. You can go back to America now. He said, no, Really? He was in material ecstasy. He was so happy. And he called, "Linda, Linda, we can go back to America." And one of the guys said, I was afraid that was going to happen. So he pulled out his gun to shoot the robot. And the prisoner said, "No, no, what are you doing? It's Linda." No, it's not Linda. It's a robot. And he shot. And then the next thing, he turns around, and the body was a bunch of wires. And then the man said, "Wow, it was a robot. I was fooled. I began thinking it was a real person. But it was a robot. It was just a machine." So actually, that's pretty much the situation here in this world. We're thinking that we're this body, but it's just a machine. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridaya Sarjanatisthiti Brahmayan Sarvabhutanam Yantravudhani Maya. Yantra means it's a machine. But we're thinking that we are this machine. It's just a robot. It's a machine. But we're in such an illusion that we're thinking that we are. And that my wife is also my wife, but it's actually a machine. It's a very sophisticated machine. It reproduces. Anybody heard of a machine that reproduces? It grows. It heals itself. Immune system. I knocked my head the other day and it's healing by itself. So it's a very, very sophisticated machine. But that's what it is. It's a machine. But Maya is so powerful that we think we are this machine. Prabhupada gives other examples. He said, "See, or Krishna, he says it's a field. There's the kshetra-gya, the knower of the field, and then there's Paramatma. So it's a field. It's a field of activities by which we try to fulfill our material desires. Yeah. But that's what it is. It's a field. The soul is within." Prabhupada gives a nice example of. He said, just like these glasses, they don't see, right? But the eyes are seen through. And you take it a step further, and the eyes aren't seen, but the soul is seen through the eyes. Yeah. So it's the soul that's acting. And this body, it's a field of activities by which we try to fulfill our material desires. And Prabhupada gives another example. It's like it's a bag called a skin bag. It's like there's plastic bags. This is a skin bag. And there's many elements within the bag. Yeah. Just like when I knocked my head, some blood came out. Yeah. I think there's something like 2 quarts of blood, something like that, in the body. Right. Anybody know? 4. A gallon. 4 gallons? No, I don't think so. About a gallon. Sarah knows. It comes in and out. There's about a gallon of blood. There's bones. Anybody know how many bones there are? 200. There's a lot of bones, mainly in the hands and the feet. There's a lot of bones in the hand and the feet. Therefore, we're able to move them so much. A lot of bones. And if the bones weren't there, the body would just be a blob. Because this is the frame that's keeping the body moving and, you know, whatever we're doing. So there's bones, there's so many organs within the body. What other examples does Prabhupada give? There's the bag, there's the machine, there's the field, the vehicle. It's a vehicle. Yeah, so it's a vehicle. We're not the vehicle. We're the person within the vehicle. And we're the driver of the vehicle. According to our desires, we're driving this vehicle in different directions. But we're not the vehicle. Prabhupada gave an example. He was in India, and there was one. He saw one man. He was in a car, and there was a rickshaw in front. And the rickshaw was in the way, and he heard this man say, "Hey, rickshaw, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Hey, rickshaw." Well, it's not a rickshaw. There's a person driving the rickshaw. So we're the soul driving the vehicle. We're not American or Chinese or Russian or male or female. You know, It's a soul within a male body, an American male body. A soul within a woman's body. But we're the soul within. This is just the covering. This is just the covering of the soul. Yeah. But because this bodily condition is so intense, we think that we are the male. They are the female. We become attached, attracted to the other. I remember in Miami there was a big accident, the worst accident that ever happened in the history of Miami, head-on crash. And ironically, one of the persons was in a sports car, and she was a very beautiful woman. Her face wasn't touched, an attractive woman, but the rest of her body was torn asunder. And two policemen got there first, to try to deal with the situation. And one of them, upon seeing the body torn asunder, he vomited upon seeing the inside of the bag. It was too much. He vomited. And that day, he quit his job. It was too much. So the body appears attractive. They have this saying that beauty is skin deep. You take the skin away, it's not attractive at all. It's not attractive at all. But actually, what makes the body attractive is the soul. Without the soul, it's not attractive also. Yeah. Even it may be Miss Universe. As soon as the soul leaves the body, either burn it or bury it. Nobody wants to see it. Even though maybe the most beautiful body on the planet, get rid of it, burn it, bury it. So it's the soul that's attractive. And the reason the soul is attractive is because it's part of Krishna. And the soul really becomes attractive when it's pure. That's when it's really attractive. And therefore Prabhupada was so attractive. I mean, generally old people aren't that attractive, right? But Prabhupada was so attractive. Therefore there's tens of thousands of pictures of Prabhupada. Why? Because he was so pure. He was attractive. So the more we connect to Krishna, the more we also become pure. And we become free of these vices. Of course, the sex desire is the main attraction. I remember there was one pastime with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was at one temple, and he had heard about this one brahmachari who was traveling around the country and preaching, and he was very good preacher. So Prabhupada saw him in the temple room and he was chanting, and he looked really fired up. So Prabhupada went to him and asked him, would you like to take sannyas? And brahmachari said, yeah Prabhupada, I'd like to take sannyas. He said, all right, come and see me this afternoon, we'll discuss about the ceremony. Back then it was very easy. So he went there in the afternoon to see Prabhupada. The secretary was there. He was screening who was going to see Prabhupada. So he asked his devotee, why are you going to see Prabhupada? He said, oh, we're going to discuss about my sannyas ceremony. I'm going to take sannyas. So the secretary said, do you know what it means to take sannyas? That means no sex rest of your life. Do you have sex desire sometimes? Sometimes. I don't know. I don't know if you want to take this step. It's a heavy step. And they were talking. And then they were discussing about who he should marry in the temple. Had an about face. He turned around. So he didn't go see Prabhupada. Next day Prabhupada saw him, and Prabhupada said, I thought we were going to discuss about your taking sannyas. And the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, I was thinking maybe I should get married. And Prabhupada said, who's been talking to you? And he said, well, Prabhupada, your secretary. And Prabhupada said, Syama Sundar, get in here. Why are you talking to my brahmacharis? He wanted to take sannyas now. Look at him. And Syamasundara said, but Prabhupada, he said sometimes he has sex desire. Prabhupada made an interesting statement then. He says, anybody that has a material body will have sex desire. And then Syamasundara said, sorry, Prabhupada. So just, it comes with the turf. You have a material body, there's going to be some sex desire. And even Jamunacharya, one of the greatest acharyas, still famous in India, Yadavadhi Mamachetu Krishna Padaravinde Never Rasadani Jantim Asi Tadavadhi Bhattanari Sangame Smaryamani Bhavati Mukavikara Sustunar Stivanamcha. Now he was a prince and then a king, so he had a lot of opportunity for sexual activity, and he did. Very licentious. But upon being preached to by some of his friends of the past, he was actually, previously he was living in the ashram, and he was a nice brahmachari and very sincere and knew so many verses. And then, anyway, it's a whole story. I won't tell you the whole story. But he got this kingdom. And then he gave up his previous devotional activities. So his guru asked one of his disciples, make him a devotee again. So he did. He became a devotee again. And once he became a devotee again, he said, in this verse, he says, since I've been engaged in the service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of sex life, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl in distaste. So there's a much higher pleasure, and that's in devotional service. And we're engaged in devotional service. We may not be experiencing the highest pleasures of devotional service yet, but we're practicing. Prabhupada was just listening this morning. He gave the example of a mango. A mango, even when it's not ripe, it's a mango. If you try to eat it when it's not ripe, it might have a little bit of a bitter taste, but nonetheless, it's a mango. And if you leave it sit for a while, it'll become a ripe mango. So now some of us might not be so ripe in our devotional service. So we may not be experiencing the highest levels of pleasure in devotional service, but we're engaged in devotional service. And if we continue engaging in devotional service, we're going to become ripe mangoes. We'll experience the pleasures of devotional service, of this practice, this sadhana bhakti. So Prabhupada mentions this, the four regular principles, intoxication also. So intoxication is also, it's a major obstacle for many people. I remember just recently I knew one devotee. He was a nice devotee, did pujari work, nice, wonderful devotee. And recently I saw that he's engaged in taking intoxication. And it was like he was another person. He was another person. I was shocked. Just seeing him, I could see this. He's not right. You get covered by this darkness, by these modes of nature, and you just become another person. So intoxication is a major problem in this present society. So many people are taking intoxication. It's very addicting. Another friend of mine, we were book distributors together in Miami, and he had some difficulty and he started smoking again. Now he's been smoking for 25 years. And he said, Vijay, it's impossible. It's such an addiction. Cigarettes. It's amazing. And millions of people around the world are addicted to this. They know it's not healthy for them. They know it'll cause cancer. It's even there on the package. But still, they're attached. And once you get into this, to get free of it, it's very difficult. And now I heard there's one drug that if you just take it once, you're addicted. I don't remember the name of it. But there's some of these drugs out there that people are just destroying their minds, destroying their life. And people can be intoxicated without taking any drugs, without taking cigarettes or alcohol or any of these things. People become intoxicated just by their pride. Therefore, it's stated, Janmai Svarya Shuta Shribir, Edamana Manapama, Nayavahati Vatitamibai, Tomakinshina Gocharam. That Queen Kunti, she says that you are very easily approachable, but only those persons who are materially exhausted. But those persons who want high birth, Janma, Aishwarya, opulence, wealth, Shruta, education, Shri, beauty, they can't call out your name with feeling. It's like you don't see senators and governors and presidents and prime ministers coming and joining the Hare Krishna movement, you know, or the Kennedys, or although we did get one big one, the grandson of Ford. That was pretty amazing. Multi-millionaire. But that's rare. You know? One. Or George Harrison. He had a life of great fame. Became a devotee. I think those are the only two that were very famous that became devotees. But there's so many famous people in the world. How many of them come? Very rare. To be very wealthy also, difficult. It's actually a curse to get a lot of wealth because one becomes bewildered by that. I remember Ambarish told me one time, he said, Vijay, in my next life, I don't want to be rich. Because when you're rich, everyone is your friend. So you don't know who your friends are. You haven't a clue who your real friends are when you have wealth. Yeah. And people do so many stupid things when they have a lot of wealth. There was one person in Bombay. He built the most expensive house in the world. It cost him $1 billion. I saw this house. It's not far from Chaupati Temple. It's 46 stories high. And he's got materials from, you know, all over the world. Italy and France and, you know, Africa and just all kinds of, you know. So then he wanted to do after some time he decided to do, what do they call that? When you're going to build a house and you go to an expert to get some, it's Vedic. A Vedic, it's a Vedic thing. No. Anyway. Vastu. Vastu. So he decided to, he had one friend who knew Vastu. Ironically, he had it done after it was built. So this person did a Vastu on it. And he told the owner, he said, anybody that lives in this house is not going to live very long. So he moved out. And the house is now empty. $1 billion home, it's empty. He's not living there. And who's gonna buy a $1 billion home? It's empty. So people get a lot of wealth and they do stupid things, you know, wasting so much money on a house. And then he finds out he can't even live it if he wants to live a long life. Yeah. This is a material world. It's, you know, Christian just pulled a fast one on him. So yeah, wealth is very bewildering. Yeah. So intoxication, gambling is also, it's people become completely infatuated with gambling. They it's so addicting. People sometimes they gamble away their homes, their cars. Even Yudhisthira gambled away his brothers and his wife. Yeah. So gambling can be also very bewildering. Yeah. And Prabhupada was speaking about this one time, and an amazing thing he said. He said, we are also gambling because we don't know what result we're going to get. And that's what gambling. You put forward something, right? In order to get something back. So we put our life. We've given our life to Krishna. But we don't know what we're going to get. We don't know if we're going to go back to Godhead. We're going to go to heaven. We don't know. No one can say. So he said, we're gambling. Interesting. But he guaranteed, if we chant 16 rounds a day, follow the four regular principles, then we'll go back to Godhead. He guaranteed that. But we have to chant with the quality, with the pure quality. This is what's most important. The worst japa I ever saw was one devotee was playing soccer, chanting his japa. Now, he's not going back to Godhead with that quality. Another one, he was watching a movie. I said, Prabhu, you can't chant japa and watch a movie. He said, Vijay, this is the only way I'm going to be able to chant my japa. I got to watch something. I guess it's better than nothing. Or is it better than nothing? I mean, it's offensive. I don't know. Offensive chanting is better than no chanting. Maybe he might hear one little name or something. So the quality is very important. And actually, the quality of everything that we're doing is very important. Just like we have this offense of chanting inattentively. If we chant inattentively, that's one of the offenses. So everything we do should be done with great attention. You know, whatever it's we're doing, you know. We're doing BBT work, we're distributing books, we're cooking, we're doing deity worship. Everything should be done with great attention because it's being done for Krishna. And if we do it with attention, then we're going to be attracted to Krishna. Eventually we'll become attracted to Krishna if we do it with attention. If we don't do it with attention, how are we going to be attracted to Krishna? It's not possible. And if we become attracted to Krishna, then we're going to become attached to Krishna. I call it the three ats. Prabhupada said this in one purport. We have to do everything attentively. Then we become attracted. Then we become attached. And Lord Chaitanya said, there's two reasons why Krishna doesn't give love of Krishna easily. And one of them is because we're not enough attached to Krishna. We got to become attached to Krishna. And Krishna is giving this, or Srila Prabhupada is giving this direction on how to become attached to Krishna. Now we're attached to so many things. We're attached to this machine, mostly, and things that are connected to this machine. You know? So this is the main thing that we're still attached to. But by this process, eventually we'll become attached to Krishna. And we're seeing so many devotees are becoming attached to Krishna. I'm now reading this book by Vishakha Devadasi. Fantastic book. I mean, she's a really good writer. And if you want to become more attached to Prabhupada, read this book. She's really attached to Prabhupada. And I'm amazed. There's so many words in this book I've never seen before. She's also got a very good vocabulary. So it's very... And now Syamasundara also has a book out. So we can become attached to Prabhupada also by hearing about Prabhupada. And they're also very attached to Krishna. So we become more attached to Krishna by this hearing. Now one thing Prabhupada mentions here in the purport is that to hear and explain is more important than reading, which is interesting. My eyebrows went up when I read it. Whoa. Because Prabhupada's always expressing the importance of reading. So I was thinking about that, and you know, the in India, the Vedantists, they're very much into reading, and therefore they criticized Lord Chaitanya that why are you chanting and dancing? Why aren't you reading? Why aren't you studying the Vedanta? So I think Prabhupada's more talking about this because they're really into reading Vedanta and not much more than that. So Prabhupada wanted us to read. He said we should know these books like a lawyer knows his law books. So to do that, we have to really read. And he said even cram. Got to cram the books. That means really reading. So... in this way, by reading Prabhupada's books, as Vishakha says in the book, she says, you get Prabhupada lenses. you see like Prabhupada sees. Wouldn't it be nice to see like Prabhupada sees? Yeah. Sees Krishna everywhere. Yeah. So the more we hear, the more we read and serve and pray to Krishna, the more we become attached to Krishna. So, any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, here we got a microphone.
Sometimes I like to read out loud, and I know a lot of other devotees prefer to read out loud. Does that have the same effect as hearing a sarvanam?
Yeah. And reading out loud is very good. Because for one thing, especially if you stand up and read, you're not going to fall asleep, right? So that's one good advantage. And if you're it's in your mind, it's all you're also hearing it. So it's very good. And the shravanam is actually the most important of all the services. If we hear nicely, then we'll be able to chant nicely and we'll be able to remember Krishna. So therefore, hearing is the most important. And if we hear really attentively, then Krishna, as he says, Shrimbatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantasto shabadrani virinoti suhitsatam. That Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in the hearts of all living entities, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who simply relishes his messages. So if we just hear and relish what Krishna's saying, we get purified. We become attached to Krishna. Isn't that nice? If we just hear nicely, attentively, we get purified and attracted to Krishna. Okay? Yes, Brigapati, give Brigapati the microphone.
Thank you, Prabhu. I always enjoy your classes. I have a question, just something right at the end you said. You quoted the a sentence from the purport that hearing and explaining, was it, is more important than reading? What exactly, Prabhu said?
Yeah, explaining. Yeah.
But then you didn't, so you, then you went on to talk about, emphasize the importance of the hearing, but how does the explaining help? I was like, when you try to explain, is it just that it forces you to be more attentive to memorizing it, or is that you get some reciprocation from Krishna from within because you're trying to share it with other people, or both, or how does that work?
Well, generally when I'm over there and I'm listening to a class, I don't hear the purport as well as I hear the purport before I give class, because I know I have to explain. So when you're asked to explain what you're reading, you have to really get into it. So in that way, explaining is even taking it a higher level, because you have to really try to understand what Prabhupada's saying in this purport. Yeah. Because we want it to be a class in which people appreciate it, so we have to explain it nicely.
Yep.
Prem, you raised your hand first. Yes.
So I'm just asking in that direction, what he's saying is explained, then you can only in purport, you can only assimilate its knowledge by hearing and explaining. Is that means then if somebody doesn't give class or don't try to preach to somebody, he cannot assimilate it, because according to the statement, you can only assimilate, it's just written.
Well, it does say it's more important.
No, it's specifically
it says to hear and explain is more important.
No, but another sentence is you can only assimilate it.
Oh,
knowledge.
Okay. Well, what Prabhupada's doing here,
and explain.
What Prabhupada's explaining here is that, therefore, it's very important that we not only read, but we go out and give it to others. We explain it to others. In this way, it'll assimilate better.
Okay. But my point is, just a second, can I?
Say where it says, just get only.
Yeah, it's only. Yeah.
Okay, here it is.
It's only, yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay. The two processes of Shravanam Kirtam are of primary importance. to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. So it can only be grasped by transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing.
No,
no,
it is. No, no, it is. Just in a purport. Just find this sentence.
Anyway, I can't read the whole purport. Any other question or comment?
My question is, because it's only...
Sachi to know I had a question.
Can I ask one?
No, okay.
I can ask a question. If, because it's
we'll discuss it later. Yes, Parvata Muni. Yeah. Prabhupada is the right source. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.